chapter 3. Book of Daniel, chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 19. Read through the end of the chapter. Then, that is after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gave their answer, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then yet Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this manner. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This, of course, is the record of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or those were the names that Nebuchadnezzar gave them. Their original Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which perhaps we should call them instead of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But this is the record of how they were bound, cast into a fiery furnace that had been heated seven times hotter than its normal temperature. And the reason they're cast into this furnace, of course, is because they refused to bow. They refused to be shaped by a godless, humanistic, immoral, permissive society and culture, because they refused to accept, they refused to approve of or participate in the thinking, the ways, the idols, the ambition, the opinions, the aims, the influences of Babylonian culture. They were thrown in this furnace because they refused to embrace. They refused to be conformed to the twisted ideas of Babylon. They refused to be shaped by these ideas. God was their identity, and they refused to be identified with anything else. So Nebuchadnezzar has them thrown into a burning fiery furnace. But the victory was theirs. Later on, Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord would save. But the account of these three faithful men is a testimony to all of God's people and has been since it's been written. It is a testimony that in a pagan, godless, secular society marked by evil, marked by wickedness, marked by vileness and abomination and idolatry and on we could go, God's people do not have to fall in line with such. God's people do not have to fall prey to such. God's people in the midst of these things can continue to love, can continue to trust, can continue to obey, and can continue to worship the Lord, and can maintain a devotion and a commitment to God, and their lives can be lives of distinction from the times in which God's people have lived. These three men serve as a testimony to that fact. The message or the passage that we've just read ought to create in the minds of God's people a firmness, a steadfastness in serving the Lord in the teeth of tyranny and even in the jaws of death. These three men prove that it can be done. Now, after Nebuchadnezzar had cast these into the furnace, notice verse 24 and verse 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And it is that fourth individual said to be like the Son of God that makes all the difference in this passage. He's the one who made the difference. So I want to speak this evening on walking in the fiery furnace with the Son of God, or with Jesus Christ. So we need to ask ourselves, who is this fourth man? Who is this fourth man? Again, Nebuchadnezzar, he looks into the furnace. He asks his counselors, no doubt in a tone of great amazement, shock, confusion, and no doubt with fear, did not we cast three men into the midst of the fire? Their answer, yes. We cast three men, not four. We cast three men into the fire. And then he, Nebuchadnezzar, with even a greater tone of amazement and shock and confusion, said, lo, I see four men, and they're walking in the midst of the fire. And then in absolute wonder, he says, and the fourth is like the Son of God. From that statement, it is obvious that Nebuchadnezzar could see a difference between the fourth individual and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was something about him that was different than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar knew the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He also knew where they came from. But he does not know the name of this fourth man. And he certainly has no idea from where he came. But what he says here, when he says, the fourth is like unto the Son of God, he says, I know I have seen enough concerning this fourth individual to know that this is no ordinary man. That fourth individual is godlike, is what he's saying. So there was a glory about that fourth individual. Nebuchadnezzar no doubt saw radiance about that individual, a glory about this fourth man. And all he could say is he's like unto the Son of God. He's like the Messiah that is promised. That's all he can say. Now I believe that Jesus is the fourth man in the furnace. All Nebuchadnezzar could say he's like, but I believe it was Jesus Christ in the furnace. And he's in the furnace as the Son of God. He's in the furnace as one equal with God. He is there in the furnace as God Himself, eternal. The fire cannot destroy him. The heat cannot destroy him. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's immortal. He's all-knowing. He's everything that God is. He's greater than the furnace. He's greater than the fire of that furnace. He's greater than the heat of that furnace. He's greater than the smoke of that furnace. It is Jesus Christ walking in the midst of that furnace. Now, the one that Nebuchadnezzar sees with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace, again, it's God. It's God in a body of flesh. The prevailing, conquering, reigning one. The one who is above all. The one who is over all, the one who is beyond all, the one who is all. He's the one in that furnace. Which brings us to, we want to look at this furnace, and we want to look at the impact that this fourth man, or Jesus Christ, makes. But first of all, consider the furnace. It is a place where God's people often are. Back in verses 15 and verse 17, we'll not read those verses, but back in those two verses, it is referred to as a burning, fiery furnace. And then again in our text, it is referred to as the same. In verse 20, verse 21, verse 23, verse 26 of our text, it is referred to as the burning, fiery furnace. So this is something that's emphasized. It is a burning, fiery furnace. In verse 19, it is simply referred to as the furnace. In verse 22, it is referred to as the furnace exceeding hot. So there's various phrases referring to this furnace, but the most common is a burning, fiery furnace. And it is the commonplace for God's people. In our text, it speaks of man's fury. Nebuchadnezzar was outraged at their answer that they would not bow. He became enraged. And the fiery furnace that he cast them into, or had them cast into, again speaks of man's fury. Speaks of man's hatred. Speaks of man's enmity. Man's defiance and contempt. Man's ignorant intolerance toward the ways of God. Because of all that, they're cast into this place. So it is an emblem of persecution. It is an emblem of oppression towards God's people. Nebuchadnezzar, in his fury, in verse 19, heated the furnace 7 times more. No doubt throwing in pitch and tar and other combustibles. God's people who insist upon God's ways over man's ways will often find themselves in this furnace. Not a literal furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but we will find ourselves in these furnaces. Jesus stated in John 15 and verse 20, he said, "Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, he said, "Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All who will. All you have to do is determine in your heart and mind that you are going to live a godly life. And just that determination made known will bring some furnace time in your life. There will be some persecution. There are the furnaces of Satan. We see the furnaces of man's fury. There are the furnaces of Satan, temptations, accusations, attack. These are furnaces of Satan. There are also furnaces of general trials, such as difficulties and hardships. Could be needs, could be afflictions. Could be losses or problems, struggles, turmoil, various cares and burdens and heartaches, etc. Jesus told his own in John 16:33, "In the world you shall have tribulations. In the world you shall have trials. In the world there will be challenges for God's people." There are also the furnaces of God's chastisements. So there are furnaces of various kinds. But be sure of this. God's people will find themselves in all of these furnaces, not necessarily at the same time, but will find themselves in all of these furnaces at some time in your life. You can't get through life without spending some time in these furnaces. So we need to learn some things from what we read in this account. We see also their condition when thrown into the furnace. In verse 20, we read the word "bind." And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In verse 21, verse 23, and verse 24, we see that they are bound. Verse 21, they are bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they are bound. That means that they were fettered. They were shackled. They were securely restrained. Which tells me that Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, you throw somebody into a furnace, a burning fiery furnace, you don't have to bind them. They're not going anywhere. But it shows me that Nebuchadnezzar thought these men were different than anyone else. He could see the power of God in their lives, and he wasn't taking any chances of them getting out. And then in verse 23, we are told that they fell down bound. So they're cast into the furnace. Their feet and their hands are bound, and all they can do is fall down to the floor of that furnace. Verse 21 and verse 23, it says that they are in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And in verse 24, it is stated again that they are in the midst of the fire. So there's nowhere to go. They are in the midst, and this is emphasized. It's emphasized that they were bound. It is emphasized that they are in the midst. And all of that is said to express, to emphasize their helplessness, their inability to escape this situation. There was no way in and of themselves that they can get out of this burning fiery furnace. They're helpless. They're unable. We need to remember that. Because next we see the overpowering presence of this fourth man. Keep in mind, these three Hebrew men, they are bound. They are on the furnace floor. They are in the midst of the fire. Nowhere to go. Nebuchadnezzar looks into the furnace in verse 25. He looks into the furnace and he saw them. But notice, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose." They're no longer bound. They're loose. "I see four men loose, unbound, free." They're free. They're untied. Who loosed them? Who was it that loosed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? No doubt, being captives, they were very skillful men. That's why they were carried away captive. They were men of wisdom. They were men of knowledge. They had understanding. They had ability. But their skill did not unloose them. Their wisdom and knowledge and understanding and ability is not what broke their bands. They could not free themselves. So who was it? It was that fourth man. It was that fourth man. Jesus, the Son of God. And when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, verse 25, he not only sees them loose, but they're walking. They're walking. When they were cast into the furnace, They fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. But now they're walking. And where are they? Well, it says there that they're walking in the midst of the fire. So they're not trying to get out. If they were trying to get out, they would move toward the walls and perhaps scale the walls. But they're walking in the midst of the fire. If somehow these men were to escape or would survive this furnace, Nebuchadnezzar looking in might expect to see them beating on the walls, trying to scale the walls to get out, but that's not what he saw. He saw four men loose, walking in the midst. And they're not walking around screaming in agony. They're not walking around complaining. They're not walking around feeling sorry for themselves. They're not walking around dejected. I believe that all four of them are walking around celebrating. And the three are celebrating this fourth man. They're praising him. They're walking with that fourth man. I see four walking in the midst of the furnace. I don't see three in the midst and one along the wall. I see four in the midst of the furnace walking. They're together. They're walking together. That's what you have to do if you're going to survive the furnace. You have to walk with Jesus Christ. In that furnace, because of this fourth man, there was consolation. There was freedom. Because of him. Even in the midst of a burning fiery furnace, there was freedom. There was fellowship. They were fellowshipping with this fourth man. They found strength in him. They found peace. And I believe they're walking around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thinking all is well, all is well. They found assurance in him. They found rest. They found relief. They found contentment. They found joy and victory in that fourth man. So in that burning fiery furnace, and in the midst of the fire, they without a doubt experienced the loving, gracious, merciful, kind, and tender presence of that fourth man. Made all the difference in that furnace. And he still does today. So they go from falling down bound in the midst of the fire to walking in the midst of the fire. May I say, walking in the midst of the same fire. So now we have to ask, since they have gone from fell down into the midst of the fire to walking in the fire, how did they get up from that floor, from the floor of that furnace? Did they lift themselves up? I don't think so. They got up by the lifting hand of that fourth man. As soon as they fell down in the midst of the fire, I believe he was there to lift them up. He was there. He was waiting for them. In that furnace, they experienced the loosing power of Christ. He lifted them up and he loosed that which bound them. He enabled them. He enabled them to do what they could not do. They couldn't walk in that furnace. They were bound. They were on the floor. It was immediate death. But he enabled them to do something that they could not do. He enabled them to get up. He enabled them to walk around in the midst of that fire. So it was in that furnace that they experienced his miraculous overcoming power. It was in that furnace that they experienced his miraculous protecting power. Why didn't the smoke kill them? Because of that fourth man. They experienced his protecting power. Notice what Nebuchadnezzar said in verse 25. He says, they have no hurt. There's nothing wrong with them. They have no injuries. They have no wounds. They have no hurt. Now the purpose of casting them into the furnace was to kill them. But they have no hurt. Nebuchadnezzar is amazed. And we read in verse 27, the fire had no power. The fire had no power to hurt them, to destroy them. Because that fourth man overcame the power of that furnace. So you have a furnace heated seven times its normal heat, and the fire had no power. Because that fourth man quenched the fire. He was greater than the power of the fire. Also notice verse 27. Nor was a hair of their head singed. That's remarkable. And it goes on to say, neither were their coats changed. There were no burn marks in their clothing. Their clothes looked just the same as when they were cast into the fire. Nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. They were completely unaffected by the fire of that furnace. Was it because of their skill? Was it because of their ability? Was it because of their know-how? No, it has to all be attributed to that fourth man, whom Nebuchadnezzar said is like the Son of God. So you see that they were more than conquerors through him. And so it is with you and I. In verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar called unto them. Nebuchadnezzar's attitude has changed. He refers to them as, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. Come out of the furnace. So he obviously knew they had some kind of power. I mean, how are they going to get out? And he says, come hither. Come near to me. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They came forth out of the midst of the fire. Again, they did not do so by their own skill, their own ability, but by the power of that fourth man. You don't have to try to get out of the furnace. He can bring you out. You need to just walk with Him in the furnace. Fellowship with Him in the furnace. I'm afraid so many times we find ourselves in the furnace and we spend all of our time praying, "Oh God, get me out of this place." And perhaps we should just spend time walking around with Him in that place, rejoicing and fellowshipping with Him. Again, he sees four men walking in the fire. Doesn't say, "I see four men and three of them are pleading with the fourth to get them out." But they were enjoying the company of this fourth man in the furnace. We need to do that. We need to learn to do that. We see, again, there's a gospel song about this. We know there's four men in the furnace, but only three came out. The fourth man didn't come out. He stayed there. Why? Because next time you're thrown into a furnace, he's there. He's there. He's always there. He meets us there. He doesn't just show up hours later. But he meets us there. He's already there. Again, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. We never go to the furnace as God's children alone. He's always there. We need to learn to see him. We need to learn to experience him. We read in verse 30, not only did they come out of the furnace, but they were promoted. They were promoted. Beautiful picture there. We have some furnace times here in this life, but one day we're going to be promoted. One day we're going to be brought out of that furnace. We're going to be promoted. And then lastly, we see God was glorified in it all. Verse 28 and 29, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And I don't believe he whispered that. I believe he shouted it so all could hear. "Who hath sent his angel or his messenger and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces." Notice it doesn't say that they shall be cast into the furnace, but they shall be cut in pieces. There's something there. "And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this manner." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood true. God was with them every step of the way. And in the end, God was glorified. Even by a heathen king, God was glorified. And that ought to be our concern. That ought to always be our concern. Whatever happens in our life, that God would be glorified. God would be glorified. He would be honored. He would be exalted. And that's what happened. And all of this, again, is a picture. It's a lesson for you and I. There's so much encouragement from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're flesh and blood just like them. And we have the same God that they had. Very same God. He hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He's the same God. And we too. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were called. It was God's purpose that they live in Nebuchadnezzar's time. It's God's purpose that we live in this time. And just as there were furnaces in that time, there are furnaces in this time. And just as God's ways and man's ways faced each other, so it is today. Same thing. So in some regards, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. In fact, you read the book of Daniel, especially that first chapter, and it is a very, very apt picture of the society and culture in which you and I live today. And just like Daniel and these others, we must purpose in our heart that we will not defile ourselves by the ways of our culture, the ways of society. And we would have faith that is required to stand as these did. And that we would have full assurance that if we are thrown into the fiery furnace, the Lord will be there. And if we face persecution, we will not face it alone. God is there. God is there. The child of God does not live alone, and the child of God does not die alone. God is there. The Lord is there. I've had people say to me, I just didn't get there in time, and my dad or my mom or someone else, they passed away. They died all alone. No, they didn't. Not if they were a child of God. No child of God dies alone. And thanks be to God, we don't live alone either. We may feel alone at times, but He's right there. He's right there. And He has more power, and He is greater than the burning, fiery furnace. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.